Big words, huge words. Words mean so much. Every one of you who have a father, living or not, words were important with them. Words mean so much from a dad. Harsh words, even small harsh words, can mean a lot. A word said in anger can mean a lot. Words said in joy, in great happiness, means so much. The word proud means so much. The word love can mean so much if there's some action behind it. Words are enormous. They do hurt us, and they do help us. And so there's no shortage of words in the Bible that are important words. And we've been looking at Romans 8, and Romans 8 has several words that we're honing in on. The first week we looked at the word free. Free means that we have this freedom in Christ. We don't have to be bound by sin. We don't have to be bound by the old nature. God has much more for us. We talked about last week a word that is a little known word sometimes in the church, because we don't think about power often. And the word was empowered, that we are empowered to live our lives with power, that the Holy Spirit living in us gives us power to do great things, much, much more than we ever thought or imagined. And today we're going to look at the word adopted. Adopted. It is an enormous word, enormous word. And some of you are going to learn some great news today, and some of you have already know this word, and you've put your trust in the Lord, and you've been adopted, and you know what this means. And so for you, this might be a bit of a review. But for some of you, I believe this can be life-changing, life-moving. The word in the Bible used to describe this relationship that we can have with God is this relationship that He longs to have with us. God wants a relationship with us. He wants us to view Him as our Father. And that's one of the problems that our culture has right now, because earthly fathers sometimes miss the mark so much. So together we're going to consider what kind of Father God is on this Father's Day. And as we celebrate that and we look at Him, an example when it comes to setting this mold for us, this model for us to live as dads and to live as moms and to live as teenagers here this day. Some of you, that word adoption, it means more than it does to others. Some of you here have adopted kids, and you understand what it means when somebody says adopted. It brings with it so much weight. Others of us who have never adopted doesn't carry near as much weight for us, because we understand that we have our own children, and they come with challenges, they come with joys. But when we adopt, a lot of us, we adopt for different reasons. We adopt because maybe we can't have our own children. We adopt maybe because out of the love of the overflowing of our heart, we want to take someone into our house and make them a part of our lives. A teacher in a class of first graders was discussing this word adoption, and one little girl raised her hand and she said, "I can tell you what adoption is, teacher." And the teacher said, "Well, go right ahead." And she said, "Well, I'm adopted, and my mom explained to me, she said that it's when a baby grows in your heart instead of in your tummy." And I think that's what a very good idea of what adoption is. That's a pretty good description. God the Father has you growing in His heart for years and years. Before you were even here, He had you in His heart. And He had a plan and that purpose for you. The point is, all of us have a perfect Father who has already signed the adoption papers, who desperately wants you to be in His family. You have been in His heart since He made this world. And that blows my mind every time I think about that. That before I even was, He knew who I was, and He knew what I was going to do, and He knew who I was going to be, and He knew what I was going to look like. And I'm like, wow, and You made me anyway. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Let's look at the screen today at Romans 8. We're going to start right there, Romans 8. And there's a whole bunch of scriptures that we're going to look at. But we want to start with these, Romans 8, 14 through 17. I'm just going to read through them, and then we're going to talk a little bit. It says this, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. You were adopted to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in this suffering in order that we may also share in his glory." I love this passage. As you think about what kind of father God is, it's important to really understand what he means when he defines himself that way. You see, on Father's Day, we are all very aware that some of you think the word father and you hear it and it doesn't do too much for you. And some of you, it does. It just brings such wonderful memories and good things. And it also, even if you had a really great dad, there's some things that are still hard because no dad is perfect, right? You can say right. It's okay to say right. And there's no, you know, it's that way with dads, it's that way with moms, all of it. So when you hear God describe himself as a father, you're thinking, well, that's really the last thing that I need or that I want. So the question is, what kind of father is God? And that's what we're going to look at today, because I think it's important to understand what kind of father he is. If you understand what kind of father he is, when he says he adopts us, what does that mean and what does that entail? And how big of a word is that for all of us that are here today? So what kind of father is God? Well, the first kind of father that God is, he's loving. He is not a controlling father. He is someone who is very loving. And we don't always get that from dads. Even good dads have a hard time sometimes showing their love, expressing their love. And we can say we love, but sometimes our actions don't always back that up. They don't always follow true in those things. Verse 15 says this, the Spirit, I'm just reviewing what I just read, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. That's the whole point that we're looking at here today. He begins by showing us that God is this loving, not a controlling dad. As Paul writes these words, he knows that the Roman readers understood when they first read this text in Romans, when they first read it, they were running very hard against these theological misconceptions that were coming at them every day. They've come to think of God as a slave driver. They had come to think of this God as this unpleasable taskmaster that no matter what they did, they couldn't please him. He's angry, he's out to get us. And sometimes today, we have that idea that who God is, somebody we could never please because there's that list of rules. There's that list of things that we're supposed to be about. There are a lot of people today who think like that about God. And if you see that's who God is, then it is harder to respond when some guy like me stands up here and said, God is a loving and not controlling father, because you look at your current experience. And so he starts off by saying, hey, God is not unreasonable. God is not an unpleasable dad. God is someone you don't have to be afraid of. And I think a lot of us have the opposite reaction. If you see God as this in this way, when you go to bed every night, you kind of begin to, you kind of think he's peeking in on you, and you begin to think, well, you know, he sees me as a failure anyway, so I'm just going to go, and he's kind of disappointed in me because, you know, my dad is disappointed in me, and God probably is disappointed in me, and so what's even the point of trying? So I'll just live my life in the way that I'm going to live my life. Whenever God says no, and this is what's important to get today. Whenever God says no, whenever we read his rules and scriptures, his standards, They don't show him to be this slave-driving father. We should be afraid of him, maybe, and respect him, but they reveal to him, to us, that he is a living, loving God, that he really does care about you. He cares so much about you that when he made you, he had this distinct plan, this distinct roadmap that he wanted your life to go. And he is trying so hard to bring all those things in alignment, and he wants you to walk with him and to talk with him and to love him and to not shun him and not to not talk to him. But yet many of us can go days or weeks without even speaking to him. And sometimes we do that, especially as people who know the difference between good and evil. What we do is we tend to hide. We tend to not want to be around where God is. Whenever God says no, he is looking out for our best interest, and we have to learn that as people of God. Then Psalms 145:9, you come to this really, this jewel of a verse. It says this: God is good to everyone, and his compassion and his love is intertwined in everything he does. And that's hard to understand, because our lives are not built like that. Our lives are not always that way. Our lives, everything is always built into surviving. It's built into the next thing. It's built into building something. It's built into staying where I'm supposed to be at work. And we get to that point. So not everything is intertwined, comes together and does that. But that's who God is. Everything he does is intertwined, made to bring us to him, to have that relationship that is right and it is proper and it is not messed up and it is not a screwy relationship. So that's what kind of father he is. He is not a controlling dad. He's a loving dad. That leads us to the second thing that we're going to find out in our scripture here today. God is close. He is not a distant dad. He is not a distant father. Verse 15, reading it again. The spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought you about your adoption and sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. And you say, well, what does that got to do with anything? See, I added that in there. But we cry, Abba, Father. That's the part of the scripture that we didn't read in the very first one. It's a very intimate term, Abba, Father. The word Abba was the Aramaic word that we would use for daddy or for papa. It is not sir, it is not father, it is not even dad, it's daddy. It's daddy. When's the last time you called your dad daddy? That's the way God wants you to relate to him, daddy. He wants you to be able to be like my grandson yesterday. My 8-year-old grandson is growing up. And I can remember when I held him on my lap and rocked him and took him places. And yesterday, all the grandkids were around, and I was holding the babies. And he came up, and he scooched his way up in the side, and he just kind of got in the side of me. And he says, Grandpa, I hope I can always sit in your lap. And I said, as long as you're alive, you can do it. As long as I'm alive, you can sit in my lap. And that's the way God wants you to be today. He wants you to be able to crawl up in his lap and to say, Daddy, Daddy, things aren't great here. He already knows it, but he wants to hear you say it. He is so in love with you, and he wants you to be able to crawl up in his lap and to sit there and to sob and to cry and say, things aren't as they should be. They're not right. They're not fair. It is not good. God, listen to my heart. And he would do what any dad would do, and he'd say, you can always sit here, daughter. You can always sit here, son. That's who God is. He is not a far-off God. That word is so descriptive that he uses. You're adopted to sonship. So not only is he daddy, but you're adopted to sonship. And that word is so enormous. That changes everything. We become children of God. We are not outsiders. We are not foreigners. We are children of God. And that means so much to all of us here in this room. But get this, it's not just Jesus who gets to refer to him as Abba. It's you, it's me. We get that privilege because we are adopted. He says, because we're sons and daughters of God, when we become Christians, our sins are totally wiped out, and we are heirs, we are joint heirs of everything that he has. It is all ours. But he says, because we're sons and daughters, then you've got it all. It's all yours. You see, when we begin to love God then in that way, not out of fear, not out of I have to, because a lot of us, that's the way we treat some of our parents, and especially if they're hard to be around. I'm going to honor them. I'm going to honor them. Okay, because I have to, yeah. But God doesn't want that with us. He wants us to love him just because. We're going to talk about that in 2 weeks, the love of God, and I hope you come back because it's such a phenomenal word that comes out of Romans. Your communication with God begins to bridge that gap of all the things that are missing in your life. He fills them in. You will never fill them in. You will never be able to fill all the gaps that are missing in you. You have holes. You look like a slice of cheese that has all these holes in it. And the only thing it's going to do is that relationship with God as he takes our little and does so much with it. See, the moment the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you have a new relationship with God. And that's what I want to talk to a few of you today about, because some of you still don't have a relationship with God. You come to church, but I don't know if you have a relationship. A relationship is two ways. It's not one way. It's not just coming and hearing about God. It's about crawling up in his lap and you talking to him and he's talking to you. And then you learn everything you can about who he is. And you ask him questions, and he answers through his word. And the more you know, the more you love, not the more you fear. But oftentimes, a lot of us, we stay at a distance from God. And so that's why we have a hard time, because we screw up and we do things we shouldn't do. And then we come and we go, I'll stay at distance from God. And God says, no. Let's play boom together. Let's play boom together. You say, what does that mean? My grandkids, if I say that word to them, that means we go in on our bed, our king-size bed, and all four of them that can run at this point, they come running at me, and I take them, I pick them up, and I throw them on the bed. And they do it. They would do it as long as my shoulders hold out. It's boom. That's all you got to say, and they're all in there immediately. They're in there because they know it means, and a lot of times what I do is I just take my arms and I wrap them around them and I just hold them really tight, and then I throw them down. Oh, that's so great. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to play with you. And I mean that in the best possible grown up way I can possibly say. He wants to have an incredible relationship of time with you. He doesn't look at you as this thing that he made and he's disappointed in. He doesn't look at you as this entity that you're disappointing him, and he's going, what the heck is that person doing? I made you. What is wrong with you, kid? See, that's some dads. But that's not our Heavenly Father. The moment the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you have this relationship with God. It's a relationship that the only way you can tell is you've got it is if you know that you got it and you know that it's there and you're playing boom with God on a daily basis. The third way that we can know what kind of God is and who he is and what Romans 8 tells us, God is affirming. He is not he's not rejecting us as a father. And that affirming basically means that he draws us in. He draws us in, and he comes alongside of us, and he's there, and he wants to build you up. He wants to come alongside of you and see that you are becoming who he created you to be. verse 16 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children, that we are God's children. God doesn't want there to be any doubt where we stand with him. And if that's you today, if there's any doubt where you stand with him, today is the day God wants to say to you, he wants to wipe that out. And he wants you to know, today I want you to know that I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. There's not one thing. God is a father that is constantly affirming us. Adoption is the word that is used there. Interestingly, if you study this word adoption in the Roman time, Roman culture got what adoption was, and they got it right. The adopted person lost all his or her rights to the old family and gained all the rights of a legitimate child to the new family. So if you came and you had debts, they were all gone. If you came and you were a problem child and you were adopted, that was all gone. Do you see how beautiful of a word that is today? They became heir to their father's estate. Even if they were natural born children in that family, they were considered equal co-heirs of everything that their daddy owned. In the Roman culture, also an adopted child, when they were adopted, the past was considered behind them. Everything was left. I love it because adoption means this. It means you were chosen. You were chosen. Above all, you were chosen. See, when I was born, my parents, they didn't choose me. They couldn't ask to see another. Can you trot out another? No. No, you get what you get. Here it is. You know what I'm talking about, right? They couldn't send me back. Natural-born kids sometimes come with entitlement. And you, my friends, are not natural-born when it comes to the Spirit. You're not natural-born. You have to be adopted. He has to adopt you into his family. You have to be chosen. Whitney and I, my daughter, my oldest daughter, we've gone back and forth on this for as long as she's been a kid. She has many natural talents. One of her talents is singing. And I anytime she sings, I just melt. I just melt. As a dad, I'm just telling you my heart. And I have complimented her. I've done everything I can to come alongside of her and let her know that she's incredible. And you know what she always says? You have to, you're my dad. You have to, you're my dad. I know that's not all right, but here's what I say. I say this about that. God chose you, especially if you're here today and you're a Christian. He chose you. He picked you out and he adopted you and he wants you. And he wants to have that relationship with you more than anything else. That word adoption is such a powerful word because it means it didn't happen by accident. There's some of you here that were made. And you think, well, you know, we use that word accident, but it was no accident. We know God had a plan and a purpose. But some of you may have heard that from your family that, you know, well, just they showed up. All right. But it was no accident. God had a plan for you. If you're adopted, you're chosen. And even though he knew how messed up you were going to be today, he still chose you. He knew and he knows that some of you walked in here today and you're mad at him. You're mad at him. You're mad at him because something you just happened in your life. He knew that you were gonna walk in here today and you were doubting if he was even alive. He knew that, and he still chose you anyway. He knew that you were gonna do and be involved in some of the things some of you have done, some of the places you've gone, some of the people you've been with, and he chose you anyway. God as a father is affirming. He is not rejecting. He takes us in as his Father, and we get everything that comes along with that. Lastly, we're just about done. God is giving and not withholding as a father. So we repeat verse 17. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. There's the part that we've got to grab onto. We are heirs with Christ. We are joint heirs, Paul says. That means that all the resources, they're all ours. We've talked about that. But that it's staggering to think about that if you think about it. You see, the more generous and better the Father is, the more resources that you have, and the more time you have, and the more energy you have, and the more you see what great thing this adoption is. Because last week we talked about if we're empowered, it means not only are we empowered, we're empowered, and he will give us the resources we need to do what he's called us to do. I didn't say he'd make you rich, but he'll give you the resources that you need to do what he's called you to do. And you know what he's called you to do? Shine your light. Shine your light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let shine. I'm going to let shine everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let shine. I love what Abby said about that gentleman in Center Grove. Every place he went, people knew who was important to him. Do people know that about you? I'm talking to the adopted right now. I'm talking to the ones here that know you're adopted, that are here and going, I'm adopted, I know it. There it goes. Yeah. Do people know? Do people know? Staggering to think about that. God wants you to claim your inheritance today. Some of you haven't claimed it. You're not yet adopted. You're not yet adopted. And you've been putting it off. You've not made him the Lord and the boss and the Savior of your life. You've not been baptized. And you're putting it off and you're putting it off. And I want to say to you, why? Why? You are so special to God. Max Lucado, one of my favorite current guys who writes a lot of books and studies, most of you probably heard this before, but I share it with you, what he says. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God had a wallet, your photograph would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring. He gives you the sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk, he's willing to listen. You can live any place in the entire universe, but he chooses to reside in your heart. Face it, friends. He is crazy about you. And it is time that we understand that and we begin to live and walk in that, that God is crazy about us, that he is not this father that wants to stamp you out or to correct you every time you do something wrong. My grandpa was a really godly man, but he was also a very harsh man. He came out of a lot of problems when he was growing up. So he had a lot of rough edges. And I was scared of that man. Every day I was scared of that man. If I went to his house, I was scared. And I can still remember, and I can think his name, and I'm not going to say it, but I would say his name. I know he loved God, and I think he loved me. But I missed so much of my grandpa because I was scared to death of him. And I miss knowing the man that he is. And I miss knowing who his kids talked about, this man who was incredible in their lives. And he raised about 30 preachers. There's literally 30 preachers in his bloodline. And we had 11 kids or 10 kids. And so there's this plethora of people who love Jesus. And he did this. But he did this still in this essence of being so harsh on a daily basis. And I'm saying this for two reasons. I'm saying this because you can't view God as that way. He's not that harsh God. And if you're a father today, you're here, and your first thing is being harsh, and your tone is yelling, and your tone is screaming, you will miss things with your children and your wife and people in your life if you're that person. It is important that God wants you to get that under control. It is a two-way street to love someone, to love and to be loved. Yes, God loves us unconditionally. I know that. But I would say to you this today, that as you sit here today, be careful of the words and the actions that come out of your mouth, the things that you say, the things that you associate yourself with, because your kids and your grandkids, they're watching you. They're watching you. And they want to see Jesus in you. Do they? Do they? Let's pray as the band comes. Father God, this day, we...